ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5, presented by Zadok Jewelers, KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Belvieu, Houston. Everyone has hot takes on sports.
Under pressure, yes, Kawhi is better than Kobe was.
Wait. What?
But sometimes we have to peel back the curtains and find out what kind of hot takes the Killer Bees have outside the world of sports.
Bananas are trash.
People don't actually like LaCroix.
Okay, surprising opinion.
It's time for Weird Take Wednesday on the Killer Bees.
I'm a huge fan of couscous. Didn't know it before today, thanks to Mendocino Farms.
Is there an H in there?
I think so, yeah.
Is it couscous?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe there's no, maybe it's a silent H. I don't know.
Joe, you're everything food. Tell us.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's good, though.
He's back
very
to
good.
Being half engaged.
I don't care what it's called, as long as it tastes
well, I
good.
Just said I don't know. I'm fully engaged. I don't know how to spell it.
First of all, if you were fully engaged, you'd go, wait a minute, let me check. And you'd bring it up and you'd go, you know what? It is or it isn't.
You guys were literally talking about this.
Why don't we get to this weird game thing that your little baby that you want to get
If you
to.
Don't like it, we can scrap it.
No, I think it would be a vote. I can't just do that.
Do you have one for me today?
No, it's your job.
That's not necessarily true.
It's your job.
All right, so this one, we are going to take this opportunity at times to call out people in the office if they say something.
Jake?
No. We're going to the big boss here.
Ooh.
We're going to Todd.
Oh,
not the biggest boss.
Not the biggest boss.
Okay.
Todd, a couple weeks ago, told me that his number one condiment on a hot dog is mayonnaise.
Very Will Levisy.
No, but see, no, it's a different conversation here. Because, like, I can kind of see where he's coming from.
Why?
Will Levis puts mayonnaise in his coffee.
Yeah, I think it's less weird to do it on a hot dog.
Yeah, it's definitely less
right,
weird.
Right, less weird, but still the wrong choice.
It's still mayonnaise.
Yeah.
Still mayonnaise that you're putting on something.
So what's the weirdest anything. Thing you guys put on a hot dog or a burger?
That's interesting. I'm pretty basic whenever I come to my hot dogs and my cheeseburgers because I like them both a lot. So I like for that to maintain its flavor. Like I have a hot burger take, quite honestly. I don't really love bacon on my burger because the bacon is a very dominant flavor and it will overpower the cheeseburger. And if I want a cheeseburger, I want to taste the cheeseburger and not
both.
A bacon cheeseburger.
I think it's a complimentary flavor.
Bacon's not a complimentary flavor.
As it relates to a cheeseburger,
when you have bacon strips on top of a cheeseburger, the bacon becomes the primary flavor. And if I wanted bacon to be the primary flavor, I would eat bacon. If I want cheeseburger to be the primary flavor, I'll eat a cheeseburger.
You have more dominant flavor because you have more meat in your mouth
what?
As it relates
something that
to the
you
burger
like, I see that.
Than the bacon. So I believe that it's a compliment.
I'm
you can never
that,
you
so
can
you
have
know.
Enough of, never have enough of a good thing. I said him, not me. So basically,
you're the one who said it.
If you have the patty and you have the cheese and the bacon and grilled onions and mushrooms, you can never have enough of the good thing. Okay. I love all of them.
I think you're probably pandering to the popular opinion.
I'm not. I'm pandering to my opinion.
I think
it's a popular opinion.
Yeah.
I am a popular guy.
This is a weird take, Jeremy, that. I think.
I would agree. I that's why we're doing it. It's called Weird Take Wednesday. 2 o'clock with the Killer Bees.
Yeah, I don't know. No.
See, now I put ketchup and or barbecue sauce on pretzels. Both soft pretzels and on
barbecue sauce?
Oh, yeah.
That's so bizarre. Sure.
On pretzels?
Oh, yeah.
It's mustard.
Ketchup, too?
No, it's
mustard
not
and
mustard.
Cheese.
Or cheese.
No. Cheese is fine, too.
Wait, ketchup with pretzels?
Cheese goes with anything. But yes, and I've taught my kids. They love it, too. They put
you should not
pretzels
be teaching
with ketchup.
Children this.
Yep, absolutely. So there's your weird rebuttal take, but you asked me, and so it doesn't relate to a burger or a hot dog, but pretzels, both the hot pretzel kind and the rolled gold pretzel bags, you use ketchup or barbecue
wait,
sauce.
Wait, so okay, wait. Okay,
I did this yesterday after work.
See, that's even weirder, I think. If you're going to say that you do, like, at a stadium, you can kind of sell me on that. But you're telling me, like, the hard pretzels that you out of the bag, you'll dip into a sauce.
Did it yesterday after work.
Like the, what do they call it, rolled gold
rolled
or whatever?
Rolled gold, I said, yeah.
That's so weird.
Or Schneider's or whatever the pretzel company is, but yeah.
You love ketchup. Anything to get ketchup in your mouth.
I said barbecue sauce, too.
Yeah, you did say barbecue sauce. What's weirder, the barbecue sauce or the ketchup? It's a tough one. Like, it's very close.
I think the ketchup, because I'm curious about the barbecue sauce.
I would say because I know Blanker's affinity for ketchup.
I might try the barbecue sauce. I don't think I can try the ketchup.
Yeah, that sounds terrible. But that's the weirdest thing with me about cheeseburgers, is that, you know, I'm not always a proponent of the bacon on the cheeseburger. A lot of times I just want the cheeseburger without the bacon. In terms of, like, condiments.
What about, wait a minute.
I don't put any weird condiments on the cheese. Sometimes, how about, like, a blue cheese crumble?
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Yeah,
I don't.
See, I'm just anti blue cheese. Not do that. So I can't. I don't apply.
It's actually mold.
I love. Yeah, it is. That's cheese.
Yeah.
I love blue cheese, but I don't love the crumble. I just like the I can't say that word for whatever reason. The dip. Mm. I'm trying to say it too fast. The dip.
If you dip,
I don't
we
like
dip.
The I don't like the crumble on it. How about this on a cheeseburger? Because this is next level. I love this on a cheeseburger. A fried egg.
It's elite.
That's so good.
It's elite.
It is elite.
I don't like the yolky part of it. No.
See, I get why you don't, but yeah. I'm not going to say it's a weird take that you don't like it, but I think this is an elite.
It is so good.
Yeah, I think it makes a burger just that much better.
No, but I tend to agree with Jeremy on the fact that if you have a really good burger, you don't need a whole lot. I wouldn't use ketchup or mustard in terms of you don't need condiments. Mm-hmm. However, I'm a staunch supporter of a really good burger with grilled onions and mushrooms.
Oh, no.
It's fantastic.
I've come around on
mushrooms. I'm onions on almost everything.
I don't like raw onions at all, especially
green
onions. No, I like
grilled onions on a lot.
Grilled onions are – I've come around on grilled onions and mushrooms, but I don't love green onions or mushrooms on the burger.
Chopped red onions in a salad, grilled onions on hot dogs, brats, burgers, fajitas, yes.
The I would say the condiment weirdest take I would have on a burger is that sometimes I don't put a condiment at all. Like
I'm with you on that.
Yeah, mustard. I'll eat mustard on it. I'll eat ketchup on it. I don't like mayo. I don't want mayo on a burger.
I'm good with mayo on a burger. I'm not today.
The hot dogs, I would never put mayo on a hot dog. My go-to with a hot dog, usually if it's just like a plain old hot dog, is usually ketchup. And I like relish, but I don't like the sweet relish. I hate relish.
I hate relish and sauerkraut.
Oh, sauerkraut I like, actually.
Do you?
I like sauerkraut with some schnitzel. You ever had that?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Basically where I'm from. Yeah, you bet.
It is so good.
I just don't like sauerkraut, period.
I'm really surprised. Like, how are you from Wisconsin? And
I don't like mustard. I don't like sauerkraut. I don't like relish. Like, on a hot dog.
That just seems so anti.
You can put cheese on a hot dog, but you can ketchup and chopped onions for sure.
Okay, queso like on a hot dog is really good. That might be the weirdest thing I've ever done.
Queso?
Yeah.
Well, it's almost chili cheese dog now.
Yeah, because yes. I was going to say, yes. You could go chili, ketchup, chopped onions. Those are all goes for me.
Bacon jam on a hot dog is game-changing. 7584. You ever had that? No. I've never tried that.
Bacon jam is like, it's like a bacon jelly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't need all that. I just need the chopped bacon.
I would try it. One of the, I like cheeseburgers way more than hot dogs. I like a hot dog, not that often. One, like, the Chicago dog was a dog I didn't think I was going to like. Mm-hmm. I didn't think I was going to like a Chicago dog. But
why?
I went to Chicago. It's got weird stuff on it. It's got a green bean on it. It's going to have a banana pepper.
The Chicago
pepper dog
in terms of all the toppings.
Yeah, it doesn't have a banana. It's got a tomato on it. Like, it's got a bunch of weirdly, really weird things. I actually really enjoyed the Chicago dog.
The Chicago dog.
It's the one thing that I'm not a huge fan of.
See, I'm a fan. I didn't think I would. You have a tomato. You have a green bean.
Green bean?
There's a green bean on the Chicago dog and a pickle.
Pickle. I knew the pickle was part of it.
There's the poppy seed bun a lot of times.
Onions.
I didn't get with the onions.
In the Midwest, you like a lot of pickles. I don't like them on a hot dog or a burger. I don't like pickles as a side condiment. It's fine. I don't like them on the actual sandwich.
Pickles are like a must for me on a burger.
A dash of celery salt.
Yeah, the celery salt, it does make.
Celery salt.
I like the Chicago dog. I do know tomato. I'm not a tomato guy.
I like tomato.
I don't like the texture.
Peanut butter and strawberry habanero jelly on my burger. That's weird.
That's off.
Well, people do those peanut butter burgers.
Really?
Barry Laminack was big on that.
I do remember that.
He got it to be on a menu item at a restaurant.
Right.
Yep. Yeah, no peanut butter on a burger for me.
That's one of the weirdest things you could do.
5535. I just lost respect for all of Branham's food takes. He just landed on Bad Take Boulevard with the bacon hate. I like bacon.
Yeah, Craig said the same thing. Someone on Twitch called you un-American.
I like bacon. I don't want it on my cheeseburger. I want my cheeseburger to be a cheeseburger. I don't want a bacon cheeseburger.
It was different
most of the time.
Like Charlie being anti-cheese and anti-bacon was weird to me. On foods in general. But I've never heard that, because if you like bacon, you can put bacon on just about anything.
Yeah, see, I think it's a dominant flavor.
Even on pizza, I'm great with, and I don't think it dominates, but I think it's an extra added flavor that I like.
My brother's all about that. He does his like number one go to pizza is bacon and green peppers.
See, I don't like green peppers.
My favorite fast food pizza it's from Domino's. It's a thin crust with the Alfredo sauce, not the marinara, the Alfredo sauce. And then chicken and bacon. And a lot of times I'll get banana peppers on it, too. Unbelievable.
I don't like, I don't like a lot of peppers. I don't like banana peppers. I don't like green peppers.
I love them. Try that, though. Try the thin crust Alfredo sauce pizza with bacon and chicken.
Okay, is this like one of my hardest food stances is with pizza? It should be nothing but red sauce. I don't believe in barbecue pizza. I don't like Alfredo pizza.
Why don't you live a little bit?
I just don't
it. You're very basic when it comes to your pizza.
That's not true.
You just said that you'll only eat pizza with marinara.
But I just think it's so much more superior than the rest.
Yeah, I don't like the whole Alfredo sauce on a pizza.
If it's at a party,
well, that's what I'm bringing you for
I'll
lunch.
Take a slice, yeah. But I'm not going to get a whole pie.
I'm bringing in a Domino's thin crust pizza with Alfredo sauce with bacon and chicken, and you're going to eat some.
Now, look, here's the fact.
What?
I'm fat, and if you bring me food, I will eat it. So I will try it, Jeremy. I promise you.
Okay.
By the way, Lance Zierlein making an appearance right now on NFL Network.
Yeah.
He is the first guy that's been on the desk today that is not wearing a coat. He's not wearing a sport coat.
I don't think you need to anymore.
He is wearing a plaid lumberjack shirt. Yes, Joe, that's what it is.
I was just, the TV's up there in the corner. I got to look first.
Have you ever had pesto pizza?
I don't care for that either.
2256 said pesto pizza. I like pesto. I've never had pesto pizza.
I'm not a fan of pesto.
I love pesto.
I actually think of the three barbecue sauce, Alfredo sauce, or a pesto pizza, pesto would be the top choice.
See, I think... I marinara to me is the only answer on pizza. I won't go with any of the other sauces. And then the bacon cheese thing. Bacon and cheese go together on everything. So that's why I can go bacon on pizza in a heartbeat, and I think it makes it better.
Have you ever had the spaghetti from Cultivar?
Where's Cultivar?
Yeah, I've never been there.
It's in, I think it's in the Heights area. It's in the Heights area. I went in. My wife wanted to go there one day. She's like, let's go to Cultivar. I've been reading about it. Okay, let's go. Their spaghetti is like supposed to be really good. And then I found out their spaghetti is more of the, it's like the black pepper made with a white sauce, like vinegar.
Ooh.
And I was like, oh, this stinks. I don't want this. I wanted like a good hearty spaghetti with a meatball and some marinara. Best spaghetti I've ever had in my life.
Really?
So good.
Like, to me, I'm all about, like, the sauce makes everything. So, like, the sauce makes the spaghetti. I like that really robust, thick marinara sauce with the onions and the mushrooms and the ground beef and whatever. And then just like at good Mexican food, I like a good salsa, but I like a hearty, thick salsa with the chopped tomatoes and the chopped onions and the thicker salsa. But, like, that's why I'm not a fan of chewy salsa. I don't like...
Oh, chewy salsa.
I don't like chewy salsa.
The best thing there. I go there for chip salsa and mango margaritas.
Like, a lot of people like the green sauce and the white sauce at Chewy's, which I don't like.
The jalapeno ranch?
Yeah.
It's so good.
I like Chewy's food. I don't like their salsa.
Hot or
that's
cold
That's weird.
Salsa.
It needs to be one or the other. It cannot be room temperature.
Yeah, exactly.
Can't be room temperature. I like them both ways. I'm good with hot or
cold. I like chilled.
I think I prefer cold.
I like it either way. 0541 Blankers has the taste of a 6-year-old kid. Okay. Catch up on it.
And you have the mentality, so that's fine.
I do with
not
the texture.
You, the texture.
I guess so. Dan's Pizza is the best. I've never heard of Dan's Pizza. At Star Pizza, I do either sauce with goat cheese pesto and chicken. Goat cheese pesto and chicken. Life
Star Pizza is good, but not
I'll have
that
to
sauce.
Check that out. Do y'all like goat cheese?
Really good. No, I don't.
Yes.
My wife kind of turned me on to it a little bit.
Yeah, my wife did too.
It's not bad. Like, it's pretty good.
Like, if you do it with Italian things, food, but... it works well.
Yeah, it's got to be certain things.
Isn't Carrabba's, chicken brine?
Well, that's like her favorite dish.
Chicken brine, Texas, has the goat cheese, right?
I think it's so. On the chicken.
Yeah.
The goat cheese on the chicken. So, yeah. 713-780-ESPN. That is Weird Take Wednesday, but nothing's worse than mayo on a hot dog. That is bizarre. That's really weird.
Especially
behavior.
By itself.
And wash it down with a mayo coffee.
Yeah, he could. Hot dog, mayo on a hot dog with a mayo coffee. That sounds dangerous for the next hour.
Toasted
or so.
Bun or just the regular bun?
That's
a hot
why
dog.
You can't draft Will Levis.
I like a toasted bun with a little bit of butter.
I like a toasted bun for
toasted
sure.
bun with a little bit of, like, you put a little bit of butter on the saucepan. You put the hot dog, like, belly down, butter it up real nice
That's
and good.
That's the key. The inside is crisp. The outside still
so
stays
good.
Fluffy. Perfect.
So yep. good. All right. Former Marlins president David Sampson was on with the Willies yesterday.
They talked baseball?
It was their segment. They talked baseball. Oh, he's not a fan of one of Dana Brown's first moves. And I disagree with David Sampson. Only Sampson I would disagree with. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Razor-sharp commentaries delivered with a purpose. You found the killer bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. This dude puts grape jelly on a burger.
Who does?
This is 9392.
Oh, no.
I don't know. I don't know who that is. Would you put grape jelly on a burger?
No way.
No.
Yeah, I don't think I would either. I like a cheeseburger. That has been...
American cheese? Cheddar cheese?
I could go either way. Yeah. I like both. Probably more cheddar, actually.
Okay.
Probably more cheddar than American, but I'm not going to be picky. Former Marlins president David Sampson, which, you know, David Sampson was a little bit of a product of a little bit of nepotism, by the way.
Oh, really?
He followed his uncle Jeffrey Loria when Loria traded ownership in the Expos for a similar position with the Florida Marlins in 2002. So he was Loria's nephew, a little bit of a nepotism in play, David Sampson. He was also criticized for his complex deals for Marlins Park, largely at the taxpayers' expense. The dealings were so unusual that the Federal Securities and Exchange Commission launched an investigation into the issuance of the bonds that were used to obtain the financing for private investors looking for misleading information that could constitute a case of fraud. Interesting. Anyways, I digress. David Sampson was on it's not Sampson, it's Samson, by the way. Sure. David Sampson was on with the Willies yesterday.
Sounds credible.
he's not a fan of one of Dana Brown's first moves. Listen to Mr. Sampson discuss this.
I found it to be silly. I think that you don't go into any negotiation giving away any sort of leverage. Why do they have to retire Astros for life when you were able to move along without Gerrit Cole, without Carlos Correa? So you're able to move on. And I think that you would never want to tell Scott that. There's no reason for it. And Scott's going to take his players to the team that pays them the most. And that what made the Astros successful is they're willing to let Carlos Correa go, and they've got Jeremy Peña ready to go, who can win the LCS and World Series MVP. What a great move that was. So you don't need to re-sign all your players all the time. You need to have new players come in and a system that's developing players. So from my standpoint, we would never publicly say until the player has been signed that, hey, this guy we can't live without.
We discussed this, remember? Because I said a Boris guy is going to be all over that for leverage. And the hard-nosed agent, this comes down to the player. This is where the player's got to tone the agent down, because otherwise the agent is hell-bent once they hear something on like that going, okay, show me the money, Jerry Maguire. You know, put it up there. And that's exactly what it does. It gives the leverage to the agent.
Yeah. See, I don't agree. I think it's kind of a fear-monger quote, actually, from David Sampson. Like, I understand the point of view. I operate, though, with the mindset that the number is the number. Like, if somebody's negotiating with somebody to get a contract done, let's just assume that it's Alec Bregman in this case, and just for the sake of numbers, not that it's anything close to being accurate, let's just say he wants $30 million for the next 5 years. He wants a $150 million contract for 5 years. So you have people, you know, you have Boris saying his stuff. You have Bregman saying, oh, free agency is tempting. You have Dana Brown saying, oh, we'd love for him to retire as an Astro. The fan base talks about it. Talking heads on the radio talk about it. Everything else is just noise. All that really matters is the number. All that really matters is the $150 million for 5 years. And, you know, Boris is going to try to say things that gets him closer to that number. Dana Brown's going to say things that gets him closer to the number. I don't think that what Dana Brown had to say, that we hope and that Alex Bregman and Jose Altuve should retire as Astros long term, I don't think that that is at all going to influence Dana Brown's contract offers to Jose Altuve and Alex Bregman. And I have zero fear that Dana Brown's going to overspend to try to lock up those guys.
There's a difference. I think that, and again, it's also in framing the quote, right? If you're smart about how you speak and you plan your words out accordingly, you're never going to say, we're going to make sure that Bregman and Altuve finish their careers as Astros. What you're going to say is, we fully intend to and expect that these guys are going to finish their careers.
He said they should, which again flips it to them.
Yeah,
because it puts the pressure on them.
It's all about positioning. You know, I go back to, if you know the agent, it depends on the agent. Like Kevin McHale was roommates with Bill Duffy at the University of Minnesota, and Bill Duffy's an agent. Now it went on to be an agent. McHale's negotiations with Bill Duffy were very, very open and honest and sincere, and he'd be like, "Hey, Billy, this is what we can pay this kid. Are you looking for more than that? Because then I'm not going to try and drag this out with you. This is where we're at. But if you do, you can't do that with a Scott Boras, because Scott Boras is coming in with one thought and one thought only, and that is, unless my player tells me differently, and even still I might try and manipulate it a little bit or more, but I'm telling you right now, this is, we're going for max money.
Yeah, Boras has signed, to your point, like, unless the player tells him otherwise, because Altuve has signed, you know, a friendly deal once upon a time with the Astros. That was pre-Boras, but he signed his latest deal with Boras. Lance McCullers is a Boras client. I think Boras gave the Astros an injury discount, quite frankly. So if the client tells him what to do, he's going to do what the client says. But if the client's like, yeah, maximize the dollar, he's going to try to maximize the dollar. I just don't think what Dana Brown had to say to the media that these guys should retire as Astros is going to influence anything that Scott Boras is going to do. The number is the number. And quite frankly, what we've seen so far from Dana Brown, we don't have a lot of evidence for Dana Brown.
No.
Let's be real. Dana Brown hasn't given us a lot in terms of contract extensions and like how aggressive he's going to be, how willing to spend big money he's going to be. He's only really made two acquisitions to this point. He re-signed Christian Javier on what many people consider to be a very team-friendly deal. $64 million for 5 years. It pays him an AAV of less than $13 million for a pitcher that's really good. I would say Dana Brown with that contract extension was pretty frugal for what he got Javier on.
This is in no way a negative towards Dana Brown, right? Because I think that the
Is saying it is a negative.
I think he was.
Right.
I'm not. Because what I'm saying is the other thing that this sets up the Astros and Dana for is an out card, right? You want them to be, and you are fully, you're committed to trying to make them lifetime Astros. If it doesn't work out, your first response is, look, we fully intended for these guys to finish their career here. But we're also not going to make moves that we don't feel are in the best interest of the franchise long and short term. They wanted something we weren't able to do. It's unfortunate because this guy has played a majority of his career here, and we've really loved and appreciated his time here. We can't do that deal. And then you're off the hook because your fan base goes, look, it wasn't for lack of effort or the desire in your heart to keep him here, but you're not going to make a dumb move. Okay, I like that.
Go ahead.
It's just hard. You know, some of these guys who like were in the business and then they get out of the business and they become media talking heads. It's like, well, why? How do you say this now when you signed a player to a 13-year contract in which the intention was to have Giancarlo Stanton retire a Miami Marlin, and then he had to get traded the year after you got fired by Derek Jeter?
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's odd to me. Like, I get, like, publicly why, but I also feel like he was really saying there's no reason to make these guys long-term players because you can just replace them. But your actual philosophy when you were in the business was not that. I find it odd.
I think if you're teaching a class in college on sports negotiation, that's when you say, hey, look, it's not in your best interest to come right out and openly to the public say you're committed to this guy for the rest of his career. But I think that in terms of how it's presented in this case, because I fully believe Altuve is the guy that goes to Boras and says, I know how you normally do these things, but we've had a really good relationship here. My wife and my family and I love it in Houston. You need to do whatever you need to do to make sure that this works out with the Astros.
Sampson's making it sound like if Alex Bregman and Scott Boras came with like the offer of because Dana Brown said that these guys should retire as Astros, that Alex Bregman and Scott Boras are going to ask for $400 million over the next 10 years. Dana Brown's not going to do that. The Dana Brown contract that he gave to Christian Javier was very team-friendly. That's really the only significant contract that he has done. He did bring in, Matt Gage, the lefty from Toronto, gave him a little bit of a signing bonus after they claimed him on waivers. Why? Because they want him to be the left-handed specialist on this team, and they got him on a very, very cheap deal. I don't think Dana Brown's going to be a dude who spends money stupidly. Like, he wants to sign players to extensions, but I don't think he's going to do it at the expense of like the long-term best interest of the Houston Astros. I ultimately don't think they actually sign Alex Bregman. I think that they do sign Jose Altuve. Mm-hmm.
That's exactly where the camp I'm into. I think that Altuve is going to be the one that dictates the negotiations. He's going to be the one. Boras will be involved in them, but at the end of the day, it's going to be Jose that says, I want to be here. This is where I want to play the rest of my career. Make it happen. Whereas Bregman's going to say, hey, you know, the market looks pretty good, and I know that I still have value, and I want to hit a home run in the pocketbook. I've already won World Series. I've done what I needed to do. So if there's another team that wants me to do it for them and they're willing to pay a lot more than the Astros, that's what I'm in for.
713-780-ESPN. I want to run a James Harden scenario by you, Blankers, a way that you would be okay if James Harden is a Houston Rocket again. Because there's growing speculation that he will be coming.
Minimum.
to Houston. I'll run it by you when we return. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
I got to ask, I was looking for Jake. I got to ask about this Dak thing. I know it's old. I know he said it, but I believe that people are putting words in his mouth. I really do.
I listened to one show where
he said he would trade two for Dak.
I'm pretty sure.
Jake Asman, Brad Kellner, Cody Castuzio coming up 3-7 Wheelhouse.
They're
going to
talk wiffle ball and soccer.
What's up with wiffle ball? Why has that been a thing lately? Just mix it up or just
mix it up? Segment on wiffle ball.
I thought maybe there was a thing.
No.
Have you played pickleball? Have y'all played pickleball?
Yeah. I call it fat people's tennis.
I've been very interested because now I'm fat.
Yeah.
It seems like it's a lot of fun. Did y'all enjoy it?
It is. It's an entertaining way to kill some time and work up a little bit of a sweat.
Should we
kill
find some somewhere time. To play?
Yeah. Once again,
we're not far from each other.
I got a bulging disc right now and a sprained ankle. I need that to heal.
I mean, we're not.
You got a helicopter?
No. I mean, I'm 15 minutes away. Let's find a way.
That's
Let's
what
find
I'm
a
saying.
Place.
Like, yeah, that's why I said.
No, I have.
We're not excluding you, Joel.
I have buddies who play. I got buddies who are members at Kingwood Country Club where they play. They play all the time.
There. Everywhere you go, including where we're going to be next Friday, East River 9, they are either transforming other courts into pickleball courts, indoor and outdoor. It is sweeping the nation. They've got a nationwide deal with all the Lifetime Fitnesses in which, like, Lifetime Fitness and Sugarland just converted. They had two side-by-side full-length basketball courts. They converted one full court into pickleball courts, and they are booked morning, noon, and night. Like, this sport right now is everybody's playing it. They can't get enough of it. They love the workout they get from it. It's a big-time deal.
Yeah, I want to play. I want to play. You any good, Joe?
Come on.
I don't think I've played since, like, high school.
You played pickleball in high school?
Yeah. I think
what kind of high school did you go to?
No, there was like a local gym that like we would they took us.
Huh. Yeah, I got a
How do we yeah, here's this kid that's unruly and he talks too much. How do we get him something to do? Let's go take Joe to play pickleball.
This is your gym class.
Just bus him over to the freaking YMCA and give him a short racket.
Yeah.
Oh, you play with the short racket and the plastic balls? Okay, go play in the corner. Pickleball.
I feel like you're being a little harsh to my guy.
He's a bully.
Joe George.
He's the bully.
He's okay. Bullied me.
You and Castuzio, a bunch of bullies.
Well, it is. I told you, we had Rick Barry on. And
he was a bully too, wasn't he? That's where you learned it from.
Rick Barry, who we wanted to talk about Rockets Warriors and the Warriors and all these other things.
Oh, yeah.
He wanted to tell the whole world that he was a pickleball champ.
Well, I think he was speaking for pickleball.
No.
I think he was.
I don't think so.
I'm pretty sure that he was.
There was no sponsor associated with his pickleball. He wanted to tell everybody he was a world champion pickleball player.
I'm willing to bet lunch on it.
Well, here we go.
I'm pretty sure that he was speaking for some pickleball thing.
I don't think so. I think we just got him on the show.
Okay, lunch bet potentially.
Do you guys have any wagers currently? We do have a document now at the bottom of the rundown of.
I have some with the. Here's the issue. I have some with the Twitchers.
But they don't.
I have
pay
some
you.
With. Yeah, they don't pay me
because it's not that I don't care about them. I just don't think they're going to pay you.
I'm two and one.
King of Twitch still hasn't paid.
No. Oh, he said he said that it got lost in the mail.
Oh.
Like, dude, send an e-gift card. It's not hard. Yeah, so he didn't pay me. Dick Willie, of course, didn't pay me his bottle of bourbon that he said he was going to give me Willett. He didn't give me Willett. I lost a bet to Todd the Show. The bet that I lost
was
that...
bourbon company?
No, I don't think it's his bourbon company. But I said that Ben Johnson would be head coach this cycle. He said $25 that he's not going to be. And I lost the bet. I sent him the Venmo of that night. He actually told me not to pay him. I was like, I'm not doing that. I'd rather pay you than not pay you.
You paid him and he hasn't paid you.
No. Todd the Show.
Todd the Show. Todd's good for it.
I made a bet with Todd the Show recently, too. We bet OPS. Who would have a higher OPS in 2023? Manny Machado or Alex Bregman? So we have a Machado-Alex Bregman
Who'd
bet.
Who'd you take?
Machado.
Smart move.
And then I have a bet with Lemmy that Mauricio Dubon will be on the Astros opening day roster.
Of course,
I feel very confident about that.
I think
that
you're
bet.
Right.
Somebody wants
Did
to
you
talk-
see, by the way, who was in the Red Sox lineup today?
No, I didn't.
Who was your favorite, one of your best nicknames last year?
Oh, I did see that. Nico Badrum?
Yeah, Badrum.
Yeah, Nico Badrum was in that bad
Third
lineup.
Base.
Hunter Brown walked with the bases loaded.
Hunter Brown hit.
He walked. Oh, they played them today. That's right. Yeah, you want some King
Hunter
Twitch.
Brown walked.
King of Twitch is saying some very nice things on twitch.tv/ESPN975. Here,
oh, God, yes, he is.
Spring training hot take overreactions. Jose Altuve's 0 for the spring. Didn't have a great playoff last year. Just saying. Hunter Brown, 2 walks in today's game. He had 2 walks. How many innings did he pitch? Did he pitch 2 innings?
Negative nanny. What else you got?
Did he pitch 2 innings?
I think so.
1 inning. He had 2 walks, 1 hit, 1 inning. Is Hunter Brown a reliever? I'm kidding. I'm not Keith Law. The good news, Ronel Blanco, 2 shutout innings, struck out 3.
Well,
is he going to make the team?
He's the hot name. If you look for the hot name at spring training, that would be it.
Who's he making the team over? Because right I think
Lance McCullers.
No, who's Dusty's favorite?
Maybe Lance. I mean, Lance isn't going to be on the roster.
Spot.
There's I think like coming into spring training, there was 1 spot open.
Yeah,
quite frankly, it was either going to be Gage, the lefty they brought in, maybe Blake Taylor. I think Gage is going to make the team.
I do too.
Taylor and then Seth Martinez.
So I could see him making it over Seth Martinez.
I think that's what it's going to come down to, because I think Gage will be on the opening day roster. He'll be the only lefty in the bullpen. I think the final pitching spot is going to come down to Seth Martinez and Ronel Blanco. If no one else gets hurt, you think that Blanco or Martinez final spot?
Blanco.
I think Blanco that can change. It's a fluid situation, but right now it is.
The only reason why it might be Martinez is the way that Dana Brown talked about Blanco and stretching him out.
Yeah.
Maybe Blanco starts in the minors. They stretch him out to 50, 60 pitches.
Yep.
And then he comes up.
Yeah, I could see that too. All right, 713-780-3776. We'll get to James Harden in a moment. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line, though. Tony, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Tony?
How you guys doing, man?
What's up, man?
Listen, I wanted to comment on the pickleball. Believe it or not, it really is an amazing game and, like, sport game. And I heard about it from a buddy of mine. I'm from New York, and we had a house together in Vermont, and he still has the house we had. And
north of the summer.
He started playing with his son, and the coolest thing about pickleball, like, I'm 55, and I play with my 25-year-old son, this father-son team.
Oh, okay. Oh.
And that's really, really competitive, and it's really good.
Do you travel the world, Tony? Where's the furthest you've traveled to go play? Just Vermont?
No, I didn't travel there. My buddy plays there with his son.
Well, how'd you get there?
He told me about it. Huh?
How'd you get there?
How did I get where?
To Vermont.
He called me on the phone. We're friends for years. I live in Texas now.
So you flew to Vermont? You had to go visit him, right?
This is going way too far.
Yeah, I go and I ski with him. But what are you breaking my chops now?
Appreciate you calling, Tony. Thanks for listening to the Killer Bees. Tony sounds like a guy that plays pickleball, right? Am I right?
What, are you kidding me?
He sounds like a guy that plays pickleball.
Right?
You're breaking my heart by telling me that you went to Vermont.
I mean, when I grew up, I played badminton in the yard with my kid. Now we're playing pickleball, and it's better. It's a better workout. I like it.
Aaron Judge going to be the single-season home run record holder with 64 home runs.
We the gods. We should have won it 6 times, if not for the damn Astros.
We don't respect Barry Bonds hitting all the home runs. Trey Mancini.
Still love you, man.
He sounds like he plays pickleball, though, right?
He's got 3 rackets. That's the other thing I don't understand. Now, instead of like people that used to buy all the expensive tennis rackets and stuff like that, now it literally people are spending overspending to get the same basic racket for pickleball, only it's like got a fancy name on it and a couple of different, or it's painted a different color. I see these people at Lifetime all the time with a backpack with 3 different rackets. You really need, with one's your spin racket and the other one's your power game racket? Stop.
It's like these frisbee golfers.
Your paddle.
Those frisbee golfers, they have multiple clubs.
Ask Lance.
Did you hear what frisbee golfers call regular golf?
No.
They call it ball golf. Instead of frisbee golf, they call real golf ball golf, because it's not frisbee golf. They're playing with a ball.
Okay. Where my daughter plays softball, they actually have a frisbee golf course. It's amazing how many people go out there and like have a little backpack full of all the different, it's like your wedge game. You got little mini frisbees and your distance frisbees and okie doke.
Yeah, it's like having the 9-iron, the driver, the pitching wedge. All right, 713-780-3776. We got sidetracked there. Let me run that James Harden scenario by you. What would you rather have? James Harden scenario or another scenario. It's Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. One scenario that you need in your life, maybe some insurance repair. Stuff happens. We know that. That's life. But you need good people by your side to help pick you up when it does happen. Pipes break, fires burn, water rises, winds blow, lightning strikes. Stuff happens. But when it does, Pinnacle Construction and owner Doug Johnson are there to help you out. Anything that you would file a claim over. You know, we have hurricanes in Houston. We have fires all the time that we see. Floods, anything that you would file an insurance claim over, Pinnacle Construction can help. From fires to freezes to flooding, Pinnacle is there to help you get back to normal in your time of need. They're on the vendor list with all of the top insurance companies and will help get an agreed cost of repairs while working for you, not the insurance company. They're on your team. Call or text Pinnacle Construction now, 281-900-3004, 281-900-3004, or email Doug at doug@pinnacleconstructionllc.net. Pinnacle Construction, born and building in Texas with over 20 years of general contracting experience. Ask for the ESPN discount. Remember, when stuff happens, trust Pinnacle Construction, and you can find them at 975generalcontractor.com.
Razor-sharp commentaries delivered with a purpose. You found the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Any good source gets, or any good journalist gets two sources to confirm a story. Jake Asman did indeed say that he would trade number two overall for Dak Prescott. Cody Castuccio and Andrew Carlson have confirmed that. So,
I told you. You didn't believe whenever me, you, but I heard it.
Maybe when you say football at the end of the show, maybe you should say, like, trust two-thirds of it?
Believable.
James Harden. Kelly Eco wrote another story today for The Athletic.
Does great work for the Rockets.
Covering the Rockets. He says that there's more and more speculation to a reunion between Harden and Houston. 76ers, though, not worried. Amid all the evidence, Harden might be planning a return to Houston. Here's the part where his situation gets so fascinating. According to a high-ranking Sixer source, probably Daryl Morey, knowledge of the team's operation.
Brown has adapted James Harden.
They are unconcerned. Is that a word? They are unconcerned about, about possibly losing him this summer. This confidence is rooted in the belief that only Philadelphia can provide the two things Harden holds most dear: a chance to contend for a title and maximum earning potential.
I was going to say those that kiss his ass and those that overpay, because there are only two franchises right now that I could see that would do both, and that is the guys that he's playing for now currently that he used to play for here. And the situation here in which even the new ownership wants him back and is willing to do the things that he's expecting they used to do will be done again, where they bend over backwards to kiss his ass and take care of every given need that he wants. The only problem is, of the two scenarios, there's only one that's set up to win right now.
I don't think that he's that interested in winning, to be completely honest.
You don't think he think he's one of those guys later in his career, and he's starting to get to the back nine of his career.
Not if he's coming to Houston. If he goes,
absolutely. If he's coming, he's coming for the money. Because otherwise, if he is concerned at all about winning a ring, he's not coming to Houston.
No, I think it's a dead giveaway. If he comes to Houston, him winning championships.
Wait, James Harden would be selfish, not care about a team.
I mean, it's not surprising at all. James Hardashian. No. But it's a clear indicator. You know what I honestly think with this soundbite or the quote that I just read? I think that's Philadelphia playing it through the media. I think it's trying to put the pressure on Harden a little bit. A chance to contend for a title. No one else offers that more than Philadelphia. Houston doesn't offer that more than Philadelphia. This is kind of flipping it around on James Harden. Look what Philadelphia can offer. They offer a chance to contend for a title. If James Harden leaves Philadelphia to go to Houston, everybody's going to point their finger and be like, look, James Harden, you're not leaving because you care about winning. I think Philadelphia is kind of putting that out there with a little bit of intent.
Let me say this. The fact is, Philly's getting a little annoyed with the fact that James isn't shunning this and that it keeps being a story that keeps being brought up. They're a playoff team. They're one of the best three teams in the Eastern Conference. And they are constantly having to deal with this, and they are getting annoyed. And I know that from people around the league that have told me so. So it's an interesting thing the way it's going to play out, because one thing that Tillman gets annoyed with is Daryl Morey, and we know that. And it's happened before, and it will happen again. But Tillman's also a staunch competitor when it comes down to he doesn't like to lose.
Mm-hmm.
So if it becomes a war between the Sixers and the Rockets, whether they need him or not, Tillman might be overzealous just to get him back to say he took him away from Daryl and Ted. But overall, it's not what the Rockets need.
Here's the scenario I'm going to run by you, and you tell me which one of the two that you rather have. Because you've told me that if James Harden were to come back to Houston, yeah.
Okay.
Because you've told me that if James Harden comes back to Houston, that Rafael Stone will no longer be the general manager. He does not want to play for Rafael Stone, is something that you've said.
Well, he doesn't like the idea of Rafael Stone being a general manager, right?
So if Harden were to come back, more than likely means that Rafael Stone's gone, right? Mm-hmm. So Stone in this equation, if Harden comes back, is gone. Also, James Harden's going to be your point guard. Like, James Harden leads the league right now in assists. He's taken fewer shots than he's ever taken before. The turnovers are fewer than they've ever been before. If he comes back, he's the point guard of this team.
That caught me up. That was the first time it really caught me off guard when I saw the quote from Kelly and Sam, was the fact that they said point guard James Harden. Because I've always thought him as a shooting guard and a scoring guard.
The closest he's ever been to a point guard is a combo guard.
Yeah.
The closest he's ever been to a point guard is a combo guard. I still really don't view him as like a point guard.
I don't either.
But I
also don't discount his ability to see the floor and make great passes.
He's not like a prototypical point guard. Right. He's almost a shooting guard playing the point guard position, and because he has
a
modern day skill set,
NBA point guard.
Yeah, he's a combo guard that can play the one, and he's a really good passer, so he leads the league in assists. Now, back in the day, people called him a good passer because he racked up a lot of assists, but he also had tons of turnovers. I would always push back and say, are we sure he's a good passer if he leads the world in turnovers? But he's gotten past that. His turnovers are like 3.5. They're under 3.5 now, which back in the Rockets days, they were close to 6. Like, it was crazy. So he's back. He's your point guard, which means if he's your point guard, Kevin Porter Jr. is not your point guard.
I'm not. Look, the money's going to matter a lot in this, but I am not heartbroken in the least if Kevin Porter Jr. is not on this team next year.
So scenario A, like, let's just assume that there's a new coach in either scenario, so it doesn't really matter.
Right.
Scenario A, you have James Harden that comes back. You probably can't get Scoot Henderson, because if you get Scoot Henderson, you have to commit to him to being your point guard, not James Harden. So you get anybody else not named Scoot Henderson. I want Udoka as the head coach. So that's scenario A. Harden's back. Whatever you do in the draft.
Udoka?
I want Udoka. Okay. I want Udoka as the head coach. So those three things happen. Anybody but Scoot, James Harden, Udoka. That's your package and option A.
All right.
Option B is, like, you know, Stone's still around. He's still your general manager. Kevin Porter Jr. is still your point guard. You know, wherever you end up in the lottery is where you end up in the lottery, but you only get that lottery pick. And then Rafael Stone will still say Silas is gone. We'll still say Silas got fired. But Rafael Stone is hiring that head coach. Option A, Harden, Udoka.
Can I punt?
Wherever you end up. No.
I want to punt.
No, you can't punt.
Even
you
if it's
take
second
option
down,
A.
I want to punt.
No, you're not punting here. Option A, Harden, Udoka, wherever you land in the draft. Option B, you can have a new coach, but Rafael Stone's hiring him. You're going to have Kevin Porter Jr. as your point guard, and wherever you land in the NBA draft lottery. You want option A or you want option B?
This is a slam dunk, Jeremy. This is option A because of the fact that the reputation that is building on a daily basis with what a complete bleep show the Rockets are, doesn't go away if Stone's still there. And if he's picking the next head coach, he's not going to pick someone that's going to keep him off the headsets during games, so to speak. He's not going to pick someone that has more basketball resume and knowledge and acumen than he does. And so, therefore, it's still going to be a puppet that he's going to pull the strings on. And then you're keeping KPJ. And you're hoping to God the only positive out of this scenario is you get the pick you want in the draft. I think that's just a lose-lose-lose across the board with the exception of the pick. I think from a perspective of you get rid of Stone, you get a proven basketball coach in Ime Udoka that's taken a team to the finals, that's cut his teeth under Greg Popovich, that's not going to take any crap, you know, from his players or his general manager. Now you're starting to change the entire culture. You're starting to make sure that this thing gets on the right path. Then you still have the positive of getting whichever draft pick you get. If the only negative is you have to deal with James Harden as your point guard, I'll take that scenario.
I think it is a slam dunk, too. It's more challenging for you than me.
Harden back sells tickets.
Yeah, from a PR perspective, it's easy. It's even an easier decision. Dre on Twitch says B. OG from H-Town says B. And he says in Rafael, or he says trust in Rafael, which is silly.
Yeah, that's exactly. Silly is OG.
Here's what, this is a good point from Chris from Sam Houston, though. Because look, What do you put the percentages on, like, realistically? Like, I presented you a hypothetical option A, option B. Like, I think I drew it up in a way to force you to take James Harden, if we're being realistic.
You did.
But what is the, what do you think the percentage chances are, realistically, that James Harden's a Houston Rocket next year?
35%.
Okay. I was going to say about 40-40. Like, right there in the same wheelhouse. That's coming up next on ESPN 975. 35-40% somewhere. So it's a real possibility. Like, it could very well happen. We've seen the momentum grow. Kelly Eco mentioning in The Athletic how he was here in the offseason working out with a lot of the young players. He likes the young players, especially Jalen Green, which I'm happy they didn't say Kevin Porter Jr. So 35-40% chance that it happens. I don't necessarily think that it crushes the rebuild, because I think the rebuild and the young players will outlive James Harden. Like, I don't think James Harden's going to be here for the next 5 years. I think it's going to be short-term-ish, like 3 to 4 years. And Chris from Sam Houston brings up the point, if Harden comes back, his contract should not exceed Victor's in length. Now, let's just say any rookie, because you don't know where you ended up in the lotto, cannot exceed the rookies in length. If we end up with Wimby, that way we can re-sign Wimby with for the max. That is something that you have to consider whenever you're the GM. You have to be looking at these future players and start to forecast what the salary cap situation is going to look like. So, like, I've been more okay with James Harden than you have. But that is something that if you do, you can't bring James Harden in and then sell your soul to James Harden. The future still needs to be the primary focus of this rebuild than James Harden. You can't give James Harden a five-year deal. I think you can only do four, unless you do a sign-and-trade, then you can do a fifth, I believe. But you can give him a deal that prevents you in the future from, you know, sending out a Jalen Green, sending out whoever you get in the lottery this year. That still has to be at the forefront of the mind. Harden needs to be an aid to that future.
He's talked about, the thing that's scary about this is he's talked about how much money he's lost and left on the table by taking the deal he took short term here with Philly. So it doesn't seem like he's going to be a guy, especially if he's picking Houston over Philly or teams where he has a chance to win, he's going to take it for maximum money. So if you're maxing him out in the $50 million range, in the $45, $50 million a year range, I think you are somewhat limiting yourself financially going forward. So I think that that has to be a very short deal.
Mm-hmm.
Because even if from the standpoint of you could possibly, people say, well, you could possibly trade him. But very few teams are going to be entertaining a deal in that range for that guy at that point in his career. So I think that that's one of the real sensitive spots in making any deal for James Harden. Now, if James Harden wants to come back, because I love Houston, I love the way they take care of me, I love the city, I live here in the offseason, I will take less and be a part of this. That's the key. He has to be willing to take less. I don't think he's going to do that. I think that he's trying to do both. He's trying to win, but he's definitely not. Even if it's all about him and he loves Houston, he loves money more.
Yeah, I think winning is pretty it's not the forefront. It's not the primary focus.
It's not maybe what drives the other focus. Guys that have been superstars that just, like Damon Lillard, would be driven to win a ring.
I don't care so much what Harden's average annual is. Like, I don't care if you give him a huge, huge contract
for the next year or two.
For the next, like,
2 to 3 years. Right.
Yeah. But it's the future years where he cannot absorb that much of the salary cap.
Not if you're even considering Şengün and Green and whoever you get in the draft this year.
All right, that does it for us. Thanks to Joe George for all of his hard work that he does each and every day when he's here. He's Blank. I'm Branham. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston. The Wheelhouse is next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.